rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
A very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in to this evening's edition. And this evening, I'm talking about praying for our children. And I'll be having a guest in the house as well. So when she comes, I'll do the appropriate introduction. You know, prayer is something which we can't ignore. And it's even becoming more important as the times we live in becomes a reality of the evil days the Bible talks about. Because I'll talk about one news item I saw, or two news items I saw this week that really got me worried. And I spoke to one SU executive in Ashanti region yesterday. Actually, he called and to discuss some issues happening in some schools and all that we were discussing. And it's worrying when you hear some of the things happening. And indeed, you realize if there's a time that we took prayer more seriously as parents, and it's now, because the way the thing is going, we really have to take it serious, and we should not underestimate. The devil is playing a very smart game and using all means and strategies to take the children, and the society is also something else these days. So it's becoming more difficult to raise children if you are not really well grounded and well focused as a parent. So there's a lot that has to be done as parents, and we'll be talking this evening to encourage you, to also invite you to a program that we are doing purposely for parents. And I believe this year, as many parents as listen to this program would make it a point to attend. Okay, but first let me get into some of the news. We look at, you know, this evening I was watching one report in Greece, Santorini Island, where they've had over 7,700 quakes within few days. And it's like people are just leaving the islands. A lot is happening in the world. But first, some of the things in the world news we have. Okay, let me talk about this first in my news. Bill Gates warns that AI will likely replace humans, quote, for most things, unquote. AI will likely replace humans for most things. All right, Bill Gates recently shared some intriguing insights regarding the swift advancements in generative AI during an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. The Microsoft co-founder articulated a vision where AI would increasingly assume responsibilities across various professions, ultimately leading to significant shifts in the workplace landscape. You know, last week I was talking about this. Gates remarked, "We are entering an era where intelligence is a rare commodity, a great doctor, or an exceptional teacher." It goes on to say that with the emergence of AI over the next decade, such expertise will become accessible and ubiquitous, offering excellent medical advice and outstanding educational support. This shift is profoundly impactful, effectively addressing specific challenges such as the shortage of healthcare providers and mental health professionals. However, it also brings about a considerable degree of disruption. During the conversation, Gates acknowledged that the rapid proliferation of generative AI is generating apprehension among many individuals, which prompted Fallon to inquire about the future necessity of human involvement in this new technological era. Gates delivered a succinct response, asserting, not for most things. So, in a sense, human beings will be working not for most things, robots will be doing most things. He elaborated that the decision of when and how to implement AI would largely rest with humans. For example, he noted that people might not prefer to watch AI-driven devices playing baseball, suggesting that certain activities will remain distinctly human. That's true. There will be certainly aspects we reserve for ourselves. However, in terms of manufacturing, logistics, agricultural production, and others, those issues will increasingly become manageable challenges, he added. Gates has been a vocal advocate for advancements in AI technology globally, even declaring 2024 as the year of the AI, year of AI. You know, last week I spoke about it, and we can't run away from it. It's a revolution that has come to hit the world. It's now taking shape, but it's taking shape at a very fast rate. You know, sometimes you can whisk away, you can ignore some things, but eventually it will catch up. Take, for instance, you know, the years prior to computer coming, we had typewriters, secretaries were experts in their typing and all that. When computers came, there are some who, I mean, we prefer a typewriter. So you go to some offices, the computer, they put a rubber something that cover it so that dust will not get in, and the typewriter is still being used. Now, where are the typewriters? Everybody's using the computer, except one or two places where those people sit around the high court area typing the documents there. But largely in the office space now, nobody's using typewriter largely, because it's either you conform to the change or you struggle to do business. This is the reality of the new world we are in. AI is coming, and it's either we adapt quickly, we learn to fit into the system, or we'll be left grappling for a survival in the workspace. This is the reality. You know, this week someone sent me a message. She's looking for a job and all that, and I read the message and I felt very sad. I mean, I've not responded. I couldn't respond. I didn't know what to say, because I felt so sad, because you see, I mean, if for instance she sought my advice as to, oh, I want to go and do this course at the university, I would have said no, it's a wrong course to do at the university. But now she's finished this course, 4 years at home and no job, and the difficulty in getting a job in that particular area is, I mean, the reality is virtually is so difficult, because you see, these are some of the things we have to start understanding as Christians. And as I let me repeat myself, last week I said that, you see, we shouldn't allow the world to be wiser than us, because you see, you can see something is coming and you prepare for it. Because you see, over the years, Christians would downplay things, say, oh, internet was coming, oh, it's the mark of the beast. So it's like, oh, Christians were not interested in internet at all, nothing to do with it and all that. Anything technology, hey, no, we just, you see, we've always tried to rubbish things. So when video came, TV, some churches ridicule TV, it's the Satan's box. Some churches in the US called it Satan's box and all that, you see. So we are quick to judge and condemn and ignore, and then years down the line, when the worldly systems have adopted it and are using it effectively, before the church will catch up. We shouldn't make that mistake this time around. Christians should not make that mistake this time around. This fourth industrial revolution is such that it's either you join quickly or you fade away quickly as well. That's how it is. So all these warnings that we keep getting in Christian magazines and reports that I've been reading here is to inform us Christians to put a house in order and do the needful. If you're a Christian youth, these are the times to start catching up and learning these things. I mean, the time on social media, wasting time, it won't give you any money in the times ahead. These are the things you should be learning. You see, now, for instance, I mean, or soon, we'll get to a point where if you go to interview, nobody's going to ask you, do you know how to use Word, Excel, PowerPoint? I mean, those things will be relevant because the questions they will be asking you about are going to be the tools, AI-related tools. So if you don't know anything about them, I mean, you're not ready for the interview, I mean, for the employment. So the one who is ready for it is the one who will get the employment. This is what I've been talking about, that it is those who are ready for the AI. They are the ones who will be relevant in the times that AI dominates in the world. And that's it. That's it. All right, so we get to the news, the next item, there's this one that says that a clear and national standard, the U.S. College Association of Athletics Association has banned male athletes from competing in women's sports after Trump's executive order. And that's it. Now common sense is prevailing. I mean, come on, I mean, this whole thing, I think through this way and ask myself, why should we even get to this point in the first place, that you have males, men, who just want to cheat and have an advantage, get scholarships and all, whatever, get awards. So some intentionally even say that, well, they are trans, they change to women so that they can have an advantage over the women in the sports. I mean, all sorts of absurdities. And you wonder, why would the world even embrace and accept this? But one man has come and a lot of changes are happening. The next one, Argentina's Javier Milei, the president, has also banned transgender drugs and surgeries for minors. So Argentina's president has banned mutating gender surgeries at the same time the leader that's withdrew his country from the WHO. So he's also withdrawn from the WHO, just like Trump has done. The two actions that follow on the heels of similar actions taken by the US president. And you know, at least when you have some people who are doing what is right, you realize that eventually the majority would agree that yes, it's time to take action against this transgender things and all that. Okay, so California government app advises teenagers to drop Christianity and embrace the occult. So an official mental health app backed by the state of California is targeting vulnerable children with controversial propaganda involving the occult, the new age, homosexuality, transgenderism, fornication and more. The attack on biblical principles and precepts is clear, but critics are sounding the alarm. Under the guise of helping California teens with self-esteem and emotions, the new program, known as Soluna, features blatantly pagan and occult themes, from magicians and tarot cards to channeling, that's high priestess, and touting lesbian characters. The controversial topics are ubiquitous. One lesson is called The Tarot and the Tidings, a holiday spread to protect your peace. This season, the cards are stacked in your favor. Read the text. This holiday, tarot spread holds the secret to boundary-setting magic, meaning less chaos and less clarity. The Bible teaches, refers to such practices as an abomination. And then goes on to say the tarot and the tidings segment's first card, as the state's mental health scheme for children calls it, informs the impressionable victims that you should hold the power to create your own reality. It also urges the children to protect your energy and get ready to cast a spell. And on, then it gets to a point where they promote LGBT issues, encouraging fornication, and this is a government app to help with mental health, teenagers and youth and all that. As for California, it's a serious issue. All right, then the next news, we have Trump to create commission to protect religious liberty and combat anti-Christian bias in government. The President Donald Trump plans to create a commission to combat anti-Christian bias in the federal government and has prompted mixed reactions, with evangelical leaders feeling the move will protect religious liberty and attorneys with progressive secular legal organizations accusing the administration of Christian nationalism. Trump announced the new presidential commission during his second national prayer breakfast speech at the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. on Thursday. The Republican claimed that the Biden-Harris administration engaged in persecution against devout Christians, citing 75-year-old pro-life activist sentenced to prison last year for violating the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act as an example of anti-Christian bias. An executive order signed by Trump on Thursday directed newly sworn-in U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi to head a task force that will eradicate anti-Christian bias in the government. The mission of this task force will be to immediately halt all forms of anti-Christian targeting and discrimination within government, federal government, including the DOJ, the Department of Justice, which was absolutely terrible, Trump said, the IRS, the FBI, the terrible. In addition, the task force will work to fully prosecute anti-Christian violence and vandalism in our society and to move heaven and earth to defend the rights of Christians and religious believers nationwide. Interesting. So when I find Christians who say they hate this man, I just wonder what part of them hates this man. Is it their Christian side that hates this man, or which side of theirs that hates this man? Because when you have the witches, the LGBT, the occult, and all these bad people hating the man, I wonder where a Christian's hatred also comes in into the equation. Because I mean, in recent U.S. history, there's no U.S. president who has been more pro-Christian than what this man stands for. All right, then we have this headline. This is Ghana. I took it from City FM Online. And the headline is, this is the Nats, I think, General Secretary or something. This is the headline, as it is. We may soon see military posts in SHS to combat violence, Nats. So the National Association of Teachers has cautioned that if urgent steps are not taken to curb the rising incidents of violent altercations among senior high school students, authorities may be compelled to establish military barracks within school premises. I'm just wondering why military and not police. You know, it seems in the last few years, we've had this obsession for militarization of the society. Things that are meant for police, straight up, people are thinking of military, and it's just amazing how we've puts everything aside, the police aside, and it's like military, military, military. So even the thinking of that, not executive speaking, I mean, yesterday I showed it to one parent. I was at a PTA meeting. I showed it to one parent when this, and her first question was, why not the police? You know, but this, I mean, it's all about, it's everything the police, we think is the police, I mean, the military that can solve it. But the bottom line is this. So the General Secretary is saying, yeah, this warning follows recent clashes between students, some of whom wielded deadly weapons such as cutlasses and locally manufactured pistols. The incidents have reignited concerns about discipline and character development within the country's educational institutions. Speaking to City News, NAT General Secretary Thomas Tanku Musa expressed deep concern over the growing indiscipline among students, attributing it to broader breakdown of respect at the national level. He criticized the lack of accountability for students involved in violent and criminal activities, warning that their unchecked actions could further erode discipline in schools. If care is not taken in the coming days, like I have said, we may have to establish military barracks on the campuses. so that they will help to maintain law and order. That is where we are headed towards. We may need to employ more military men since the students are now coming with weapons. We might need to employ the military people so that we create military barracks on all the campuses so that when the students pull out their weapons, the soldiers will also pull out their weapons. Then they would square it up there. Hey, this man. But the bottom line is, you know, the indiscipline is really out of the woods now. It's serious. But I've been thinking and wondering that, you know, GES over the years has, I don't know the right word to use to describe GES. Seriously, we've looked on, intentionally destroyed the moral fiber of the educational system, taking punishment out of the system. You've weakened teachers to the point where now they fail, they can't, I mean, discipline the children and all that. So it's a bit serious now, but I think it's not too late to correct these things. I mean, it's just a matter of deciding that you want to discipline, and you can discipline. Something like that was posted on our family WhatsApp, one of my senior sisters said that this one is simple. Any student who misbehaves, you are taken out of the free SHS. Now you pay fees. Because you see, there should be discipline. We just can't have an autopilot. People just pass through the school, just misbehave. They won't go to at class. They won't attend classes. They will just do anything and finish just like that. No. And I understand the sentiments of the NAT General Secretary, though it's on the high side of the military thing, but it calls for the serious attention of, I mean, parents and all stakeholders in the educational sector, because we just can't go on and pretend all is well in the educational sector. The SHS government level is serious, and these are the reasons why parents should be concerned about what's happening. And when you talk of the praying for our children and all, it starts from, you see, all these things happening in the schools, the problem starts from the home, because all these children, there's none that is like a school child in terms of was born in the school and growing in the school. They are coming from homes all over the places together in the school. So the schools are a congregation of sports children coming from various homes coming together. So the problem is parenting. Parenting is where the whole problem starts from. Because if all parents were to be doing what is right, at least, when we were in school, the very, very bad boys, you could just pick one in the class. So they are not that many to have a gang to misbehave. Because almost everybody is at least not good, very good, but averagely okay. So if you have just one very stubborn bad boy, sometimes you walk alone. So it's either if you don't get another one in another class, then you realize you have to tone down and behave well in the class because you're alone. But now it seems you have more association of bad boys in the class. It's serious. So parents really have to, step up their game, and it's worrying. Because I remember there's this video that went viral, Accra Academy, and a senior beating form ones who were going to SU meeting and all that. And the school's response last weekend, when I was reading it, something caught my attention, that they've sent messages to the parents and not all have responded. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, how can it be your son has been suspended. It's in the national news for all these bad things. And the parents, you've not responded. There's something wrong somewhere. Something wrong somewhere. It's like, well, I mean, I've given birth. Go to school, that's all. I mean, whatever happens to you, I don't care. It's really worrying. Anyway, so as I said, we'll be talking about praying for our children. I have Reverend Maxine Backman joining me this evening. She's no stranger to this station. So we'll be talking briefly. So we'll be talking more. Let me take this brief, short break, and then let's take this song whilst I'm out.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. We'll be right back.
report.
Squad 1 is pinned down at Sector 7, sir. The supplies are getting low. Casualties are at 35%.
Radio Squad 2 to pull back and regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7.
Urgent message coming in from Squad 2, sir.
What is it?
This is Bravo 3 to Squad 2. Please repeat. Over. They want a pizza, sir.
What?
No anchovies.
In the midst of life's battles, what do you pray for?
So what'd they say?
We're supposed to regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7.
No, what about the pizza?
They said, no.
Oh, man. Squad 1 asked for reinforcements and we have to go help. I asked for a simple pizza and I get nothing.
The Bible says when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Are you seeking God's will in your prayers? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM Kumasi, Ghana, online streaming as well. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Eben, and I said we have someone in the house. So we have Reverend Maxine Bachman, who will be joining me this evening. She's a Reverend Minister at Oasis of Love Church, Ahonjo, as I'm sure we all know, and the head of the Oasis Christian Academy as well. I've known her for some time now, and we interact on a lot of things. I mean, when we meet, we can talk endlessly. So, Reverend, you are welcome this evening.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be back on Spirit.
Okay, welcome. So last year we had a successful program where we had various parents and we had different speakers as well, talking and leading prayer, encouraging, motivating each other and all. It was quite, we had a session where question and answer session and a talk as well. So it was very packed actually. And I believe everyone who came last year left fully loaded spiritually and all that. So this year, so talk about this year's own, the theme, the dates, the venue, and we progress. Yeah.
Okay, so a very big good evening to all our listeners. This is our 14th annual parental prayer conference, and the theme for this year is the excellence of Jesus Christ, raising godly children to excel. And why this theme? You know, it's there for some reason. The Lord just laid on my heart this year to talk about the spirit of excellence when it comes to young people generally. So that's a word that the Lord has given me in every aspect. So when I was thinking of the theme for this year's parental conference, that is what the Lord said. Talk about raising godly children to excel. Just a little while ago, Brother Ben was talking about this issue with the secondary school children, and during the break we also having a little chat about what is happening with parents and raising children and all that. And you realize that right now excellence is something that people don't look at. Generally, it's like we do things anyhow, as long as it is done. We don't think of being better. We don't think of being the best. And so that's why I believe the Lord laid on my heart that we need to raise children who are excellent, who strive for excellence, who want to be excellent in everything they do. When we look in the Bible, when we look at Daniel, the Bible said that Daniel and his three friends, Azariah, Mishael, and I've forgotten the fourth one. We normally call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
I was using their Hebrew names.
Yeah.
So these three friends and Daniel, the Bible lets us know right from the beginning of Daniel chapter 1 verse 4 going, tells us that they were skilled, they had knowledge, they were looking good. Yeah. You know, it talks about all aspects of these four young men. And if you look in the scriptures, at the time that that they were picked, they're around the age of 16 years.
Yeah, teenagers.
Uh-huh. So they were teens. Mm-hmm. So if teens having these qualifications and with everything that they went through, when you go to verse 20 or verse 22 of Daniel chapter 1, it talks about the fact that of all the astrologers and all the wise people mm-hmm. in Persia or in where they were, these boys were 10 times better than them. You see, so it tells you that they were excelling in everything that they were doing. In every area of their lives, they were excellent there. And so the Lord drew my attention to that and said that if, you know, these young men could have been excellent to be picked by the king to sit in the court and then at the end of the time to be governors over the various provinces, then it means that we are doing our children a disservice by not making sure that they are excelling in the things that they do. When we look even in our judiciary, we look in our but the parliament and, you know, those areas, we realize that people who go there, sometimes you realize that their lifestyle is not is not the best. Not sometimes, most often, it's not the best, you know. So what happened to the spirit of excellence? Mm-hmm. What happened to honor?
To cut you, the three or the four Hebrew boys mm-hmm. in this case, were doing this without or in the absence of their parents.
In the absence of their parents.
As you said, I was just thinking.
In the absence of their parents, yes. So there was the upbringing. Something was done.
The seed has been sown.
The seed was sown in the beginning. So, and that is the reason why they look for those particular people. Because they look for children who have been groomed to be a particular way to come and work for them in their country. Mm-hmm. You know, so look at this. I recall when they were doing the when they started the U.S. visa lottery in Ghana, and they at that time wasn't really a lottery. They were actually putting letters in people's mailboxes, and they will invite you, and then you come the very first set.
Yeah, okay.
And they were looking for some particular people.
Yeah, some professions.
Some professions and some qualities, and they had done investigations about people, so they knew where they were coming from. And that's how they were picking them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask myself right now, if we were to even look in our secondary schools, mm-hmm. we were to look in our primary schools, we were to look in our primary schools and all that, can we find people who are excelling in all areas, not just in one direction, having the spirit of excellence that Jesus Christ had? Do we find it? I can stand here and say that it may be zero.
It's serious. You know, last year, during the BC friend school, the head is, and the owner is a friend, so they went to write their BC, and where they were at a point, the head invigilator asked my friend, the head school, where is your school, because your children are different compared to, because it's like you realize their attitude and the way they behave in their room, you see. And this, we are talking of the excellent thing, because we should be Christians across board.
Exactly.
In the exam room, in the playground, wherever, you see, and this is where the missing link is. It's as if Christianity is being only a Sunday type of Christianity. So from Monday to Friday,
anything goes.
Thrown overboard.
But to be honest with you, that's the mentality of Christians right now.
Oh yeah.
They say, oh, we the fanyameton chain. That sort of mentality.
Yeah.
And that is what is affecting us.
Yeah.
You see, the God factor has been put aside.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are even going to think of excellence, as I said, these boys were all around. It was skill, hands-on, they were there. Mm-hmm. Academics, they were there.
Knowledge.
Every aspect you can think of, they were there.
Yeah.
So all around. Godliness, they were there. So if you look at all these things, all these four aspects, it is important in everybody's life. When we look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, it talks about Jesus Christ, and it talks about how he was excellent in those areas. The Bible said that he grew up in wisdom and in knowledge.
Yeah.
So if he grew up in wisdom and in knowledge, then it means that all round he was... He had the spirit of excellence all around him.
Yeah.
I was teaching some young men and young people. I was telling them that, look, consider this. Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, went with the parents to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
When they were going back, the parents thought that, like anything, Jesus would be with his peers in the back playing.
Mm-hmm.
But this 12-year-old was not playing. He sat back in school
with the professors.
With the professors dividing scriptures, asking questions and answering questions, to the point that for 3 days the boy was there doing that. You see, so if you think about the type of quality that Jesus had, do our children have that quality right now? Do they desire to study? Do they want to know more? Do they want to be about the Father's business? Do they want to learn? Do they want to excel? You realize that there's a question mark there. Even in our Christian homes, there's a question mark. What children want to do is give them freedom to go on the internet, to be on social media, to stay on phone in the middle of the night talking about rubbish and things that would not edify them one bit. That is what they want. But you tell them that take your Bible and read, let's go to church, they will find all sorts of excuses of not being able to do it at this particular point of time. You see, so this is the reason why we need to pray for our children, and we need to pray, because the way the world is going right now,
it's scary.
If we don't pray that our children develop a spirit of excellence, they'll become so lackadaisical with everything. It doesn't matter.
It's
anything goes.
This week I was having a chat with a friend, and we're discussing the attitude to work in the youth now, and some examples that he cited is so serious and worrying. You see, I even felt sad and worried even more when I don't know whether you listened earlier, but I was talking about the AI thing and all that. This is even one reason why AI will even take over quickly, because business owners will be so fed up with the attitude of the
humans.
Because if I look at the youth coming up now, there's no future for the workforce in Ghana, because either they are coming to steal, they are not interested in working. And it's not only Ghana, it's a general
issue. It's a general thing.
I was reading a report last 2 weeks, UK, where now there are some people who they call a hotline and say that, well, I have psychologically, I can't work. So they interview you for a few minutes and declare you that you are not fit to work. So you are not going to work again. You are going to be paid till pension, just like that. And
that's
so
the
program hosts at a point were saying that, no, this is not sustainable.
Mm-mm.
Because he was mentioning the number, the hundreds of people who are the youth signing up for such, disability. Not that the person is okay, but he says, I can't work. So they have all terminologies after the interview, and then you are classified as, okay, you can't work. And someone said that he has a neighbor like that who doesn't work like that. And he's playing games morning to evening.
He's CEO.
And he's being paid.
So what productivity is there?
You see, now the productivity level is abysmal. They don't want to work, but they want to enjoy it, but they don't want to work. This makes it even very damning for the future. Because with this attitude, then you go for a robot or AI systems who are efficient, hardworking, and effective. So seriously, I was telling someone that if we train our children right, they will be the stars who will stand out in the midst of the chaos. I mean, it's like majority are bankrupt morally, bankrupt emotionally, psychologically, in wisdom and all. So if you're able to, if a little push and backing of prayer and all that, your child will do well and excel. But if they go to interview, they'll be the ones to be picked. That's where we are headed. That's why we need the prayer.
And that's why we need the prayer. That they'll be picked. Because I was in a salon today, and I was asking the lady that, don't you have anybody helping you? And she said, well, all the girls have left. I said, what's the reason? She said, auntie, they don't want to work, they want to get money.
Yes.
So when they are here for just like a month, and then they have some money in their hands, they just stop and go. They are so lazy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so true, because I have seen it. A lot of young people today don't want to work, but they want to have money. They don't want to be even good in anything. Even when they are learning, when they are doing something, you are showing them the right way to get the thing done. They think you are too some way. And then they just leave and go. So this attitude is this, you know, it's so bad. And I believe that this is probably the reason why Nebuchadnezzar went to pick these young Hebrew boys as slaves from there to come and run his provinces for him. Yes, because if you really think about it, it's possible that the people who were there, they had that same attitude. They had that same attitude. So they had to go and pick somebody outside who is skilled and knowledgeable to come and do the work. And that is what we need to pray. You know, as you are saying, parents need to do our part. And then as we are training the children up, we are also backing them up with the prayer.
Yeah.
That's what is so important about this prayer. And at this conference is not just prayer, but you know, even if with the prayer, we are going to be grouping it in sections. So as we always do, we pray for preschool age children, we pray for elementary school age children, we pray for junior high school and senior high school students, and then we pray for tertiary students as well, all categories of children, and then our adult children. So we pray for all these categories, you know, because each one has their own issues, you know. So we pray for all these categories. And then the interesting thing about this year is that we have a slot also. We are going to have a main speaker. Last year we had a panel. This year we have a main speaker who speaks to the parents, draw the attention to the reason why you need to pray, what to look out for, and how to raise our children to be excellent. Because honestly, there are some parents who don't know what to do.
Some are virtually bereft of ideas, and it's sad because you can see that, like example I gave of when we're chatting about this parents and all that, the meeting, that's exactly, you realize some don't know the how.
Yes.
So they must be taught.
Yes.
Because I don't remember the forum where I was saying this, but I said somewhere that the church is failing parents. I say things as it is. You see, we do premarital counseling, which is good, but then we just leave
them after the marriage.
Well, it's
over.
Like you should know how to raise your child well. Oh, yes, you should know, but now that we are seeing that the people don't know, not everybody know, but it's time churches start looking at organizing seminars.
Yes.
To help parents, because the dynamics of parenting has changed completely.
Yes.
I keep citing the example that the way we grew up as children, it's not the same way our children are growing up.
No.
All the things, the factors and the dynamics in place now was not in place when we were growing up. So if you say you want to go strictly by your old parent, the way you were brought up, yes, for the moral aspect and God-fearing aspect, that one is still good to go on. But in terms of the additions now, your parents didn't know internet. Your parents didn't know video games. Your parents didn't know anything about TikTok and all these things. So now as a parent, backed with this knowledge in the world now, how do you raise your children in the midst of all the chaos and the indiscipline and the lawlessness and the technology to maneuver yours? It's like a puzzle. A maze puzzle which you have to figure out how to arrive safely with your child intact. Because this is where a lot of parents are failing, because they are not acquiring the necessary knowledge to help them, because largely some don't know who to talk to. Some don't know who to talk to. So they are confused. So unless maybe they go to office and they, whilst lamenting, maybe another colleague will say that, program, be on your Spirit FM. I've had some instances like that. So I believe, listeners, this is an opportunity where you are invited. Invite others as well.
Yes.
Because I believe it's time this program goes beyond even the borders of Kumasi.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Because it's a big issue.
Yes.
It's a big, 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 big issue.
And as I was saying, most parents don't know what to do, so they need to be taught. And you see, unfortunately, parents are too busy today, too busy with their work and other things. They don't have time. So sometimes when you even call such meetings, they have other things which they place as more important as a highest priority. But let us all remember that our children are the future, and what we do for them right now is going to go a long way. So it's very important. So I want to encourage everyone, if you're a parent and you're listening, maybe on Saturday the 22nd of February, you are going going to say that you have a funeral to attend, you have a this to go to. That is why we have slated it from 10 o'clock to 3 p.m. later, so that if you have to go to the morning part of the funeral by 10, you have come to join us. If you have to go to the afternoon, you can go at 3. So that you can come and just spend a bit of time praying for your children and then listen to someone. It's a sacrifice. And trust me, we've had, over the years, we've had people who have given testimonies. Yeah. 2 years ago, there's a parent who came and I think they were working on traveling outside Ghana, the borders of Ghana, and she brought her children with her for the prayer conference, and they prayed. All their prayer was, Lord, open the door for us if it's your will for us to go. And the children prayed that prayer. By the end of the year, they had all relocated. The conference was in February. By August, she said everything went sharp. After the prayer, things were just moving like that.
Fast track.
And now she and her children are outside. That's, you know, I'm just saying that the time that we spend praying for our kids, it changes things.
Yeah.
Some have talked about the fact that they've seen changes in their children's lives after coming for parental prayer conference. We've had a lot of testimonies. Mm-hmm. We have one parent who didn't have children at the first parental prayer conference, and she was not even married then.
Wow.
And she got she came to the parental prayer conference and she said she prayed for her unborn children.
Prayer.
Trust me, she was single then.
Yeah.
By the end, the following year, she was married, started having children. Now her children are doing academically very well, spiritually they are sharp, and I would say that they are excellent kids.
Yeah.
You see, behavioral wise and every aspect, Christian, everything, respectful, skilled, and you can tell that the prayer that, and she, from the first one, she never stopped coming.
Wow.
The only time she couldn't come is when she's traveled.
Yeah.
So she couldn't come the last year, and this year she wouldn't be around. But I'm just saying that even if you are single and you have not married yet, come and pray for your unborn children. Yeah. If you're an auntie or an uncle, come and pray for your nephews and your nieces.
Yeah.
If you're a grandparent, come and pray for your grandchildren.
Yeah.
Everybody can pray for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So let's come and just, and it's not just even for yours. You are praying generally for children as a whole.
Yeah.
Because your child may be okay, but what if your child goes to school and go and meet Kweku Baboni, and then they now teaches your child the wrong things to do, and then your child is expelled from school. What do you do? So all these things, let's come and pray for all children as a whole. Come, let's put ourselves together. Let's join together. And then there's a slot also that we have for digital parenting. Parenting in this age. And it's none other but yours truly, who is going to be giving us a talk about what parents should look out for in these times and this age of digitization that we are in right now. You know, so I just want to encourage everybody. Yeah. I feel the fire already for that.
That program. I just had this message from Pastor Roger. He's listening in Accra. He said, whoa, my theme for the children's service, pursuing excellence.
Oh, wow.
The Holy Spirit is working. Pursuing excellence.
The Holy Spirit is working.
We are in a season in which evil is being accelerated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for those who are spiritually mindful of spiritual things, you can sense that evil is on the acceleration. This is not the time for Christians to feel lazy
at all.
And this is not the time for us to lose our guard as parents. I talked about the fact that, like, I heard this prophet this week warning that it's time we seriously pray for
the schools,
our schools, because we are going to start hearing things. So when I saw the general secretary's secretary of NAT statement, I got alarmed, because connecting it with what the prophet was saying, what the prophet is saying is even yet to happen.
Yes.
So with what the NAT secretary was saying, it means spiritually something has begun. Something is cooking in the spiritual realm. So for a prophet of God to warn that parents should wake up and start praying, because we are going to start seeing some wild chaos in the secondary schools and all sorts of things, linking it to what the NAT executive secretary or secretary general was saying, it means this is not a time to sleep as parents at all. And
at
see, all. We shouldn't just forget it, say that, oh, okay, it's only at the secondary. So, okay, me, my children are not in secondary, so I'm not going to pray. The issue with spiritual things are like can be contagious, let me put it this way.
Yes.
It will amaze you that somebody or bad children in JHS will see what's happening in secondary school and they would want to copy and implement.
Yes.
So there's nothing like, oh, wait, they're in family home. No. It can be contagious. So we shouldn't lose our guard.
Yeah, in life in general, there's nothing like a family home. When COVID started in China, we were sitting here and we're looking on the news. By the time we realized we were locked down. You know, so there is nothing like a family home. And we need to all just shine our eyes.
Yeah.
Open your eyes and just be discerning of the times that we are in.
Yeah.
And it's evil.
You know, someone said something, if we think praying for other children is not our concern, wait till your child goes to bring somebody home that this is the person I want to marry. Mm. Then you'd understand that.
Seriously, Eben, why are you saying it's so true?
It's serious.
It's so true. You can't say infamy. You see, you don't know who will pull your child into what.
Oh, yes.
You don't know who your child will go and associate with.
Yeah.
Your child is innocent. You think that you have prayed, you are with your child, you have trained your child a particular way. So after my child on Penny Hwasem, when you go to school, he's not going to get into any trouble.
Yeah.
But you will be there and you will get a call that your child was part of the people who went to have the demonstration. Your child has been killed by another, you know, I think it happened not too long ago where another student killed another one, something, on a fight or something, and then hit them and they died or something like that.
It happened in Accra.
So it can happen. And that is why we need to cover our children in prayer.
Yeah.
You can't be with your children 24/7.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit can be with your children.
Yeah.
So the more you are praying for your kids, the Holy Spirit is working on their behalf.
Yeah.
And then one of the things I also would like to encourage us is that at this prayer conference, don't come with the mind that it's just a one-time thing. It's a continuous thing. We want to ginger you, and then we want to spark your engine for you to continue it in your secret place. You have to find a time that you pray for your children constantly. I mean, you can't go one evening or one night, mention their names, mention the names of their friends. We even be praying for our children's friends, who their friends are. Some of us, we don't know who our children's friends are. And they come home with all sorts of things. Children have brought witchcraft home. Some have brought occultic stuff home without their parents knowing it, because the parents don't even know the sort of friends that they have. You haven't done any background investigation of your child's friends, so you don't know who he is, who he's coming from, what is happening in their home. You don't know that. You don't know the type of food that they are eating, what they are putting in their food. You don't know anything. And then you've left your children bare like that. You don't know what can happen to your kids. So let us come together and pray for our children's friends as well, the sort of friends that they have, because the type of friends will determine if they walk in the spirit of excellence or not. We look at Daniel's case. His three friends were all of the same feather as his. So they were not unequally yoked. When Daniel said that we will not eat this food, they also said we will not eat it. When he said that Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all the people and was going to go to the Daniel, he said, let me go to my friends and tell them, let's go to God and pray. So he had friends who were like-minded. And therefore, they could come together and seek the face of God whenever they needed to. We need to pray for your children's acquaintances, who they relate with, even their relationships that they are in. All these are very important. So let's just
iron,
come
iron
together.
Iron sharpness, iron.
Iron sharpness, iron.
Wow. You know, that's the Pastor Roger that I mentioned. He's been a friend from 1988.
Okay.
I mean, we've been friends all through all these years. You know, you see, when you connect with good friends, it helps along the line.
Oh, yes.
You see, so it's important we pay attention to some of these things. Because some of us, by the grace of God, I mean, my mom was, you know, a Christian mom, praying. is it like some of the, I look back and I can say that some of the prayers is what has brought all of us, the whole family, all my siblings, all of us, by the grace of, we are all serious Christians. I'm the youngest. We are all serious Christians. I mean, me, I'm not an ordained pastor, but we are pastors in the family. They are professionals, but I mean, pastors as well and all that. You see,
until you say you're a pastor.
So, you see, the issue is we should not despise prayer as parents. We should not despise it at all. You may not see the rewards or the dividends immediately, but it's a seed.
Yes.
Spiritual things, we can't understand it or comprehend with our natural mind and thinking. But let's sow the seed.
Yes.
And I believe it's important we pay serious and close attention to the times we are in, especially. Perhaps if we are in the 1980s or 1990s, you could, ignore. Even that it wasn't advisable. That, no, yes. But now in 2025, it's not advisable. No. Oh, so soon, time is up. Yes. So we thank Reverend Mrs. Backman for this evening joining us to talk about this conference. And we are inviting all listeners. All listeners to join us. Date again.
It's a Saturday, February 22nd. That's two Saturdays from today. Yeah, and the time is 10 a.m. And then the main speaker is Reverend Mrs. Rita Danuvo of Green Pastures.
Oh, okay.
And then Hour of Grace, she's always on here.
Yeah, okay.
And then our other facilitator is yours truly, Brother Eben Asaibuafo of Issues of Life. Yes.
The location is Oasis.
It's Oasis of Love International Worship Center.
Opposite APSA.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, it's
open to everybody. It is free. Yeah. You don't have to worry about paying any entrance, because sometimes when you hear conference, you think there's a charge.
Yeah.
So it is free. We are just convening together to pray and pray for children worldwide. So it's not restricted to anybody. Anyone can enter and join in with a prayer.
Thank you. Okay, so thank you, listeners, for listening this evening. Hey, when you are finishing, before messages come, Moses, I've seen your message, but my time is up. So God bless you for listening. And I'm Eben, a program as usual, Issues of Life on Spirit FM. You know, because of the online spiritissues.info, so sometimes, so thank you for tuning in, and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet.